It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Thank you for joining me once again for It's a Good Life. Today we continue our study in the book of Romans. Last time we got up to verse 18 of chapter 1, and we want to continue along those thoughts that Paul had here in Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. Of course, he was penning this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Romans 1:18. Let's look at that once again and look at this in connection as we go on into the next part of the chapter. Paul says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." We looked the last time and we saw the wrath of God. We need God's righteousness, according to verse 17. But we deserve God's wrath, according to verse 18. And Paul mentions ungodliness and unrighteousness in verse 18 here. And God must judge and pour out his wrath against all those who do not measure up to his standard of righteousness. When the first three chapters of Romans, especially chapter 3, we see how ungodly and unrighteous we really are. We see that we deserve God's wrath to the full. Paul also uses the term "hold" here. Men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They hold down. They suppress the righteousness, the truth of God. But notice the word "revealed." Revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. People had the truth, but they suppressed it. The truth was revealed from heaven, and please notice that these people were not ignorant of the truth. They were not without the knowledge of the truth. They had the truth, but they suppressed it. They held it down. Now let's read verses 18, 19, and 20 here. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." We often ask the question, will God send the heathen to hell? Does God send anyone to hell? Well, the answer, of course, is God sends no one to hell. People choose. To me, it's harder to go to hell than to believe in God, than to believe in the salvation that he offers through his son, Jesus Christ. But people still turn their backs on Jesus Christ. When the sight of God, all those who have not accepted his son as Lord and Savior are heathen. They are not saved. In Psalm chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing?" Psalm 79 and verse 6 says, "Pour out thy wrath upon the heathen that have not known thee, and upon the kingdoms that have not called upon thy name." John 14, 6 says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Well, then, of course, we read in Acts chapter 16 and verse 31 where this Philippian jailer wanted to know how to be saved. And Paul and Silas, and they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Now, for the sake of our study, as we use the term heathen, it's referring to all those who have not trusted Jesus as Savior. And as we study the Word of God, we look back in Psalms once again, and Psalm 98, verse 2 says, "The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen." You see, man is without excuse when it comes to knowing God. Now I want you to note this. When the Jews used the term heathen, it was and is a reference to anyone who is not a Jew. But in the sight of God, anyone who does not trust Jesus as Lord and Savior is a heathen, according to the Word of God. John chapter 14 and verse 6 once again says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15 says, And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Well, does God send the heathen to hell if they have never heard or seen the Word of God, the Bible? Notice this. Anyone who will not trust Jesus as Savior will go to hell. Revelation 20:15 once again says, And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Frankly, the heathen are without excuse. The heathen do not know about God. There is no excuse. The heathen do know about God because they have the witness of nature. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Psalm 46:10 says, Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Psalm 98 and verse 2, The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8, And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. See, mankind, the heathen, have the knowledge of God according to Romans chapter 1 and verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them, the Bible says. Well, how does man have knowledge of God? Verse 20 explains this. By the things that are made, by his eternal power, by the Godhead. It says, For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You say, Well, I don't believe that the heathen are going to go to hell. Well, you'll need to take that up with God and his word. You'll need to read the word of God. And if you have an argument against that, you need to take it up with the Lord. The Bible tells us that they are without excuse, that they have an opportunity. They have the witness of nature. No one has an excuse not to be saved. Well, note the two things that we can learn about God from creation. One, his eternal power. Two, his Godhead, his deity. Now, God has two books. How has the Creator revealed himself to us that we might know him? Because God wants to make himself known and to reveal himself to man, he has written two books. These two books tell us about the Creator. God wants men to read both of these books so that they will come to know him. In Psalm chapter 19, verses 1 through 7, it talks about the Creator's work, his creation. All men read this book. Book number one, we look around and we see the creation. We see the trees. We see the birds. But once again, we look at someone who is an evolutionist. He has perverted God's creation. God created this world and everything that exists. In Psalm chapter 19, verses 1 through 7, it says this, The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Well, what is the testimony of the Lord here? It's the heavens declaring the glory of God. It's the creation. We have the Creator's work, the creation. And the second book is the Creator's words, the Bible. Few people really read book number two. God implants knowledge in every man, woman, boy, and girl through the creation. And then we see the Word of God. God implants the knowledge that He exists in every human that is born into the world, and therefore man becomes accountable and without excuse. If he seeks and wants to know the truth, God promises to get the truth to him. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 13 and 14, it says this, "And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord." The Word of God is to be preached throughout the world. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We have the testimony of the creation. We have have God's Word in written form, but man is without excuse either way. If he wants to know the truth, then God will send him the truth. This is the reason we have missionaries going out and sharing the gospel with people, even in this country. When they want to know the truth, God will send someone to them. Now, I believe that with all of my heart, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, according to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 29. Now, what's the Christian's responsibility? Since God has revealed himself to all mankind, does that mean I am relieved of my responsibility to witness? The answer, of course, is no. Psalm 96 and verse 10 says, "Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously." Psalm 18:49 says this, "Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name." Remember that the gospel message must be heard and believed in order for someone to be saved. And in Romans 1:16, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You see, sometimes the Lord will lead a witnessing Christian to a seeking lost person, as in the case of the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. And we see here Philip, who was led by the Lord in Acts chapter 8, verse 29, he was led to this seeking man. In Acts chapter 8, and verse 31, and it says, Philip led him to Christ as his Savior in Acts chapter 8, and verse 37. Well, this man was from Africa, and sometimes the Lord will lead a seeking lost person to a witnessing Christian, as in the case of the centurion called Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. Cornelius, a seeking lost man, in Acts chapter 10 and verse 2, was led to Peter, a witnessing Christian, Acts chapter 10, verses 5 and 6. Well, the result was the same. Peter led the seeking lost man to Christ. The truth is the same. All men, in order to be saved, must trust in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. None will have an excuse, according to John chapter 3 and verse 18, where Jesus says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." If you will become a witnessing Christian, God will use you to lead many seeking lost persons to Christ. Begin today. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to ask Him into your heart. You need to say, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive You as my Savior."
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org, or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.